You've got your Bibles. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew, a real familiar passage of Scripture, book of Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to go down and start reading at verse number 36, Matthew 26, verse 36, and reading to verse 46. And just didn't realize that until just now, but that's 666, isn't it? The devil's not going to like it after I get done. Some of y'all may have remembered a while back, I preached about victory for the new year. And we can have victory in Jesus. I started out, I don't know if it may jot some of your minds, but if you'll remember, I started out telling about the story, the account of the football game that Georgia, I believe it was Georgia Tech, was playing. And you've all seen the football games to where they've got a minute, 30 seconds left on the clock. I don't remember exactly what it is. I'm just trying to go off of memory. It was, but you've seen it, fourth quarter. They're winning. They're up by a score. They're down. They've got four downs left to go. They've got enough time that they can run the clock out. And all they had to do was get in victory formation. Some of y'all remember that sermon. All they had to do, you seen them do it, they just drop back and take a knee. But they decided with less than a minute and a half on the clock that they was going to run a play. The opposing team, I don't even remember who it was now. I'd have to go back and look it up. But Brother Dave Overton, the other team, got the ball and run it back in for the intercept, for the touchdown, and Georgia Tech lost the game. So many times, all that we have to do is, we've already won, church. All we have to do is get in victory formation. Take a knee, and God will take care of the rest. I thought about Job. We see Job in the storms that arose in his life and all the problems that he had. And they come up, and Job became victorious through his battles and through his storms. I just preached the other night about that we can have victory. Do you remember whenever I preached and used the passage where Jesus took Peter, James, and John upon the Mount of Transfiguration? There he saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and he said, Peter said, it'd be a good place to just to be. This is a wonderful place. Let's just build three altars here. We can have victory whenever we build a place for Christ. But this morning, I'm looking at personal victory. How do we get victory over ourselves? Sometimes this is the hardest battle I fight is myself. If you're honest with me, you'll probably agree that we struggle with the guy that's looking back at me in the mirror more than I struggle with anybody or anything else. The Bible says then in verse number 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Carry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus even admitted that even in him, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I struggle with the flesh more than I struggle with anything. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." The garden was a place of surrender. The cross was a place of crucifixion. I noticed here, the first thing that I notice is the pain of separation. Not everyone was going to go where he went. He told eight of the disciples to sit here on the outside of the garden. He called Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. He said, "I want you to follow me a little bit further. You will go through some things in your life that there will be others that will leave you. They can't follow you where you go. There will be a pain of separation. When you become saved, there'll be a crowd that you thought were your friends that will forsake you like a hot $2 bill. But there'll be others that can go with you for a little while." I see this in verse number 38. He told the three, Peter, James, and John, after he had left the eight outside of the garden, Peter, James, and John had followed him into the midst of the garden. He turns and he tells them something that is very personal. Brother Virgil, he divulges something to them that the others probably had no doubt. You'll read it in verse number 38. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." A side that we overlook many times, Jesus was suffering with depression. 100% God, but he was 100% man. There'll be places that you go in your mind, thoughts that you think, depression that you face, that no one can go there. Except you and him. But you say, "Wait a minute, you mean preachers suffer from depression?" One of the highest rates of depression is ministers. Physicians is number two. You mean doctors? Preachers? Think about it. They deal with everybody else's problems. Most of the time and confidentiality, and they have no one to talk to. He suffered. He felt everything that you felt. I thought about some people can only handle your mountaintop experiences, but they cannot handle your garden. They can celebrate your victories, but they can't celebrate your vulnerabilities. The closer he got, listen to me, the closer he got to the cross, the greater the separation became. The three was able to follow him a little ways. The more sold out, Brother Robert Harper, that you become to God, the more separation that you'll find. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You started out talking about victory. I'm telling you how to have personal victory. I'm not talking about victory as the world sees victory. All the fame and the popularity and the good old boy and the good times. And I'm talking about how to have eternal victory, eternal success. The closer you get to the cross, the greater the separation will become. I want you to think with me. The disciples left him. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him three times. This was his closest disciples. He had to go alone. But separation is not always desertion. Separation is preparation. I want you to look at it as, for what is God preparing me for? When it seems like that friends forsake us, when we go through separation, God is preparing you for something. Not only do I see the pain of separation, but I see the preparation of the struggle. He chose the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the olive press. That's what the word Gethsemane means. It was a place of the olive press. It was the place where the olives were squeezed and the oil come forth. There's a message right there that I could preach. But he was at a place to where he could be squeezed, if you will. The struggle that he went through. Luke records it in chapter 22 of verse 44. And he said, at being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood flowing down to the ground. There is a medical terminology that explains this, and I can't pronounce what it is. But when you go so far and so desperate and so agonizing that the capillaries actually explode and the blood vessels break, and the tears become as blood flowing down out of your face. There is a medical explanation for what happened here. He was in such agony and pain that the suffering the struggle of the suffering. It wasn't because he knew that he was getting ready to die. The struggle was because of the sin that he was taking on. A man that knew no sin He said, and he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." He's talking about the wrath of God. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find out, and specifically in Jeremiah, he talks about the cup being poured out on of all of Israel for the sinfuls, for the sin of the nations that they had committed. But here he's talking about the cup of wrath of God. Not being poured out on all the nations for the sin that they committed, but on one individual, on him, Jesus Christ. And he was there to bear it all. You will stand in the place of what do you want, Lord? And on the other hand, what do I want? The preparation of the struggle. Lord, you know that you want me to live a Christian life, but Lord, I want to have fun. I want to go to the nightclubs, and I want to go party, and I want to do this, and I want to have friends, and I want to live on the fence. And, you know, I want to have church, but I want to have a social life, and I want to have this, and I want to have that. And you'll stand in the place of, Lord, if it be thy will, but then I've got my will. I'm still preaching to you about how to have personal victory. When it's my will that I want, you'll have your will, but you won't have victory. But when we submit, it's the preparation of the struggle. When we submit to His will and do it His way, then we can have victory. I see here not only the pain of separation and the preparation of the struggle, but I see the power of submission. Three times Christ prayed and he asked the same question. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Every time he prayed, heaven was silent. Do you ever feel like you pray and you just don't get an answer? Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes maybe, and sometimes he don't say anything. This is the same Jesus that you'll read in Matthew chapter number 3. You'll read that whenever he went down to the Jordan River and John baptized him, The Holy Ghost descended upon him and lighted upon him like a dove. And a voice out of heaven cried, "Lo, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You'll find out whenever he took Peter, James, and John upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And there was a voice that come down out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." But this time, Jared, heaven is silent. Not a word. The circumstances did not change. But what changed? Jesus did. We come sometimes and we come expecting, and I want us to come expecting. We come with problems and we come with situations that seem like there's no answer for it. We don't know what we're going to do. God, we need you to change this situation. We need you to move in a mighty way. We need a miracle here today. Sometimes heaven is silent. What changed was his attitude. The cup did not pass from him. He went down to the garden that day in prayer, prayed in earnestly. "If there be any other way, Lord, I even see the attitude towards the disciples. What? You can't even watch with me for 1 hour? He goes back to them the third time and says, "Sleep on." His battle was not won. I want you to listen to me. It was not won on the cross of Calvary. It was won in the garden. I'm not discrediting the cross. His battle. His battle was won. The same Jesus that went into the garden trembling, depressed, sorrowful, crying until his tears became as great drops of blood, walked out triumphant. When we will submit ourselves to God's will, losing will become winning. Victory over ourselves begin when we submit to His will. Before He conquered the cross, He conquered His own will in the garden. The pain of separation, enduring the preparation of the struggle, and embracing the power of submission is what we've got to do. Come back to the music, if you will. The cross was just confirmation of what happened in the garden. One of the greatest victories that you'll ever have, that you'll ever settle in your life, won't be in public, but it'll be in the garden of prayer. That's where our battles are fought and where our battles are won. If you're coming to church and you're only saying, we had a good church service, and man, I got the victory at church. No, you need victory all week long. But victory starts. Personal victory starts knowing that there's going to be a separation. You may have to step out and leave a spouse behind. I remember my grandma, my dad talking about her testimony. My grandfather had told her, says, if you ever get saved, I'll leave you. She had 5 children at home. My grandfather was a sharecropper. Some of y'all know what that is. They travel from farm to farm. Grandpa never owned a piece of ground in his life. What's that have to do with it? If he would have left her, he would have left her with nothing. With 3 of the kids already raised, gone from home, I think Marvin was in the war. Grandma made up her mind that she was going to get saved with or without him. You see, there was a separation. But God took care of it. Conviction got on Grandpa, and he prayed and prayed and prayed till he prayed through. You may have to leave friends. I've known of people that give their heart and life to the Lord that they had to give up their career. That's all that they knew was a life of living for the devil. Playing in nightclubs and bars. They couldn't serve 2 masters. But there had to be a separation. And I know that there is a struggle that will ensue. You'll have battles that you'll fight that only you can fight. The biggest one is right here. It's flesh. It's self. Thirdly, to be victorious, you have to battle the battle, the power of submission. But Lord, it don't make sense. You want me to go to church, and you want me to do this, and you want me to do that. You want me to help feed the homeless and the needy, and help me and be a light and be a witness. You know, Lord, I'm the quiet type. I can't do. Not my will, but His will be done. Some of the most miserable people that I've ever talked to, I'm talking about religious, have told me in private that the Lord has dealt with them to do something. And they said, I didn't do it and I missed it. You know what it is? Self got in the way. And they wanted it their way instead of His way. Stand with me if you will. The altar's open. Maybe someone feels the need to pray.